Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We, like athletes, need rest, and God commanded that we should take that rest every week. The question is, should it be on Saturday or Sunday? And do the regulations of the Jewish Sabbath carry over to Sunday? For some answers, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he concludes a message on what Sunday should mean to you. Today, why we should not argue about whether Saturday or Sunday is the day of rest we observe.
In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day." Paul says, don't let anybody judge you regarding these things. And in Romans 14, he says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. He says, you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. So nowhere in the New Testament do we have all of the Sabbath day regulations transferred over to Sunday. Sunday becomes a voluntary day of rejoicing and praise and gratitude, and it's a day when people can do and serve God in the way in which they ought, but not under the compulsion of the Old Testament. Now, you know, of course, that oftentimes in American history, there has been a transfer from the Sabbath day to Sunday with all of the regulations. Parenthetically, have you ever eaten a Sunday? How many of you ever had gone into a store and had a Sunday? Only 42 of you. I thought more of you liked ice cream. Do you know where that got associated? In Evanston, Illinois. You've heard of that place. What happened was there were no stores open in Evanston, and finally one store opened on Sunday and served only ice cream. And so the idea arose that you would have a Sunday. You'd be able to buy ice cream. And that's the origin of the association of having a Sunday and eating some ice cream. Well, we've come a long way since that time, haven't we? With everything virtually open on Sunday. Now, what I'd like to do is to take all the loose ends and tie them together and give you three conclusions, all right? And this will help us, I think, nail some important things down regarding Sunday and the Sabbath, etc. First of all, the regulations of the Sabbath are not transferred over to Sunday. The regulations of the Sabbath are not transferred over to Sunday in the New Testament. For example, in the book of Exodus 35, verse 3, it expressly says that you shall not light a fire on the Sabbath. Well, you can imagine, of course, that this would create problems for those of us who live in the Midwest if we tried to apply that on Sunday. They were not to go out and even gather manna on the Sabbath day. You were not to go a Sabbath day's journey, or there was a certain limitation, I should say, as to how far you could go and travel on the Sabbath. And there were all kinds of regulations that were a part of that that are explained in the Old Testament. And today, I must say that we do not transfer those to Sunday. Now, what about Eric Liddell? Should he have run that race on Sunday? Well, let me answer this way. If he thought that he was disobeying God, of course he should not have. Because the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. If you think that you're disobeying God and then you go ahead and do it anyway, you are sinning. Even if it's in something that perhaps you may be mistaken about, such as eating meat onto idols or running a race on Sunday. I would simply say that in the minds of a believer, some might be free to run the race on Sunday and some might not be. Paul says, don't judge one another regarding some of these matters. What about that young pastor? Should he have been able to skate to church on Sunday? Well, of course he should have been able to skate to church on Sunday. And what the elders should have said is, we want you to skate to church and we are commanding you to enjoy it. That's what they should have said. Because obviously to say that you should skate without enjoyment is indeed foolish. Now, so I don't see a transfer of the regulations of the Old Testament Sabbath to Sunday. But I'd like to make a second conclusion, and that the principle of one day in seven is woven right into the fabric of the universe. The idea that God rested predates the giving of the law. And God rested on one day after he had done all of his creation as a principle that I think transcends all time. So to observe Sunday in principle is being completely biblical and right. And what kind of a day should it be? Well, let it be a day of rest. Let it be a day of reflection, and above all, let it be a day of rejoicing. Let it be a day in which we are edified and strengthened by the gathering together of the body of Jesus Christ. Let it be a time in which Jesus Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven is exalted and thought about, and a day in which we worship him together. The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But that we should be together, we should provoke one another unto good works. Our hearts have to be knit together in love, Paul says in Colossians, so that we can enter into all the inheritance that there is in Jesus Christ. While I'm on the topic, there are many of you here whose participation at Moody Church is minimal. You may come Sunday morning and then we do not see you. You are not involved in any ministry. So let me say very quickly, we're glad to have you here. Come back again next week. But do you know that it is so important within your sphere of life to become more closely knit together with other believers to experience the inheritance that there is in Jesus Christ? That's why it's so important that a church like ours, it's so important that you participate in a smaller group such as a Sunday school class or a Bible study where you are able to get to know others and where there is interaction and prayer and a bearing of one another's burdens. And I encourage you in the name of Christ to be all that God wants you to be, to become involved in the lives of other believers and have hearts knit together in love. All that to say this, that Sunday is a day in which that ought to happen. As we worship the Lord our God. There's a third conclusion, and that is that Sunday is really a reminder. It's a reminder of God's grace. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, this has been pointed out, that in the Old Testament, which was an age of law, of course there was grace in the Old Testament, but the law was given by Moses and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, during that age of law, the idea was that after you worked 6 days, you would be rewarded with rest. You'd be rewarded with rest. It's interesting that in the New Testament, the first day of the week is observed as a day of rest, which really means that while law says, if you work hard, you get to rest, grace turns that around and says, you begin with rest in order that you might be able to work. And it says in the book of Hebrews that there still remains a rest for the people of God. It's such good news for tired Christians. There is a rest coming for the people of God. He may be speaking there about the millennial kingdom, but notice Jesus Christ's words, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I should have pointed out that the Hebrew word Sabbath, Shabbat, is rest. Jesus Christ, you see, comes along and says, freely as a gift, I give you rest. And now that you have received rest, you are free to be able to serve me and to be able to walk with me and to be able to labor in my work. You see, let me use the life of Martin Luther to illustrate. Here's a man whose prime objective in life is to be right with God. I mean, that's what he wanted above all else, which incidentally is the most important question. The question is not whether or not the earth's resources are going to wear out or whether or not we're going to be at war. That's important, but not nearly as important as where you're going to spend eternity. So here he is. He is pursuing this right relationship with God. And Luther says, I flogged my body perhaps 40 or 50 times, but how do I know that God doesn't demand 51? In other words, Luther was saying, I'm looking for rest. I'm looking for security, a sense of knowing that I belong to God. I want to be at rest in my soul and have assurance that I'm on my way to heaven. So he confessed his sins, sometimes 6 hours at a time. The problem was this, that in order for a sin to be forgiven, it had to be confessed. In order to be confessed, it had to be remembered. And Luther's problem was, how good is my memory? And sometimes after 6 hours, he could still think of one that he had overlooked. Do you think that leads to rest? That leads to bondage and frustration and uncertainty. Then one day when he was studying the book of Romans, he came to that fantastic conclusion that righteousness is a gift of God given in response to faith. Forgiveness is a gift of God given in response to faith. It is a free gift conferred upon those who give up trying and believe in the merits and the completeness of Jesus Christ's work. And after that, he was a man at rest, free to be able to serve. God says to us today that there is a rest for the people of God. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I give you the gift freely, up front. And after it's been received, you have the opportunity of serving me. It's not a matter of being rewarded at the end of labor. It's a matter of being rewarded at the beginning. That's grace, before you've earned it. And then after that, you can serve me and you can love me. The Sabbath is rest. Sunday, a time of rest. But above all, Jesus, the giver of rest to those that believe in him.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Recently, I was at a conference in Florida, and so many people came to tell me about the ministry of Running to Win in their lives. I'm always excited to hear about conversions, also to hear about those who say that the topic that was preached was exactly what they needed and when they needed it, the mercy and the grace of God. And all this, of course, is possible because of people just like you. I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy because I want you to pray about the possibility of becoming what we call an endurance partner. Check out the info. Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Of course, offerrtw is all one word. offerrtw.com, and when you're there, you can click on the Endurance Partner button. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Thank you so much for joining with us. We so much appreciate your prayers, your support, as together we do all that we can to be faithful to the end, all the way to the finish line. Thanks for joining us.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding What Sunday Should Mean to You, a look at the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Next time, we turn to commandment number 5, You Shall Not Commit Murder, a commandment with deep meaning in this age of casual abortion. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The Ten Commandments is a 12-part series. We'd like to send you the entire series on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.